Look at all of this fear and all of this courage and all of this confidence, all of this love, mixed with all of this fear and sadness. Look how beautiful it is. And it occurred to me, like, right now is beautiful. Right now, in the darkest, in the scariest time, I felt the love and peace. And then I realized that it's the same thing. Beauty and sadness is the same thing. It's just a reflection. We have to have both to understand it. And you realize this human experience is that. It is this journey and this is toggled through. And in that moment, I realized again, wow, I didn't have this love for this, for these tough times. Mm-hmm. I didn't have this because I was in such a blissful state. How could you? And this is the universe's way of reminding you and why we go through the swings, reminding you that we are human too.
Welcome to episode 34 of the Mind That Ego podcast. I'm Ricky DeRiz, and today I'm joined by Jesse Gittler. I reached out to Jesse, having seen his content on Instagram. The Instagram algorithm gods clearly pointed me in the right direction, and I decided to see if he'd be interested in a conversation. And this is the conversation we had just the day after I sent that message. It really is a soulful, wholesome exchange of two people really sharing the highs, sharing the lows, sharing the messy humanness, sharing the divine revelation of the spiritual path. I hope you enjoy this conversation as much as I did, and I do encourage you to follow Jesse on Instagram for more of this wholesome goodness. Since I've done the podcast, usually I research guests, like, as people, I might have read their books and taken time to kind of deliberate inviting on the show. And I just found that the amount of heart and authenticity in your content really, man, like, I'm going through it at the moment, like, to be honest.
Yeah.
I'm going through it. And I do find that when there's resonance, like, I feel like archetypically in my reality at the moment, you're embodying that authenticity, the courage to speak openly about God, about, you know, connection to the spiritual, and the challenge as well. So it just felt... Yeah. Felt good to reach out and have a conversation, and just to talk through the process, really. That's
absolutely
my intention with it. Yeah.
Yeah. And as you know, nothing happens on accident. And you know, this conversation is supposed to happen this way right now for many reasons, a lot being for you and for me, right? Like, I'm going through it too, bro. Yeah. You know what I mean, man?
Like, yeah.
It's crazy, bro. Like, and it's a constant just wave, man. So, love to you, bro. Like, you know, it's we could talk offline or even get into it on this conversation about what you're going through and exchange stories, which we're going to do anyway. But yeah, it's wild.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wonder, to begin, maybe if you'd like to start with a bit of a background, I guess, towards what you'd call your awakening, but also then sharing that content online, just to give some backstory, and then we can kind of riff off of that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. So my awakening essentially happened not so long ago, in April.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm recently new to this way of looking at the world. But a little bit about my story and how it happened. There wasn't a major event. There wasn't a significant change in something within me or my life. Obviously, there was a buildup. You know, since I was, excuse me, since I was a little boy, I remember thinking, what is all of this me?
Mm.
Like, I would walk around. I remember being like 7 years old, like, and not being able to sleep because I'm just like, what is this? Like, I'm like, observe. I've been this hyper aware observer my entire life, where I'm just constantly looking at people and watching them and understanding them. And my growth through this thing called life was like, what are we doing here? You know, like, we're just going to act like the sun is coming up and the waves are coming in and like, we're going to work and like, it's all normal. Like, what? Like, when are we going to stop? Like, yeah. I was, stop, guys, what's happening? What the fuck? So it was like, it was a lot of that. And then I got a little older and was like, okay, this is life. You know, this is life, kind of fleeting experience most of the time, some laughs in between, some good moments, always trying to chase and feel something, still always asking the bigger questions. And a lot of that emptiness led to addiction, led to just this constant suffering and chase to fill this hole so that I could feel something for a moment, but then it eludes me again. Mm-hmm. And then I come back down and look for something else. And I've always been into self-development. You know, it's obviously changed since my awakening, and I'll get there, but I've always been into the evolution of who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always been front and center. So I've always just been like, how do I grow? That was the most important thing for me. You know, as a person, I didn't know anything about this world, the spiritual world, or the truth of reality. And so years went on. You know, my life hasn't been easy by any means. But one thing to know, like, through my entire experience and all my trauma and all the things that have happened, truly, 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 and my sisters would always be like so amazed at this, but I truly feel like the luckiest person ever. Like, I really do. Like, and now that idea of that has expanded tremendously. But my mom had traumatic brain injury when I was like 20 years old,
mm-hmm.
and was never the same and needed full-time care as she does to this day. But my dad and my sisters, we all grouped up, man, and we were the tightest family. And my dad was a giant, and he took care of everything. My parents were divorced. That was also trauma when I was young that I'm dealing with. But my dad put his arms around us, and we came together like a team, like an army, to work for each other and help each other and love each other. And then my dad passed away suddenly, which was about like 6 or 7 years ago now. And that was obviously like a shift in the earth, a shift in my soul being broke. Like, no words to describe it, man. Like, just the end, bro. The end. That's how I thought of it. It was over for me. There was no way that I could ever reach a level of joy. Like, I was hitting my head on the ceiling of joy already. And now, like, my best friend, this person, this guy, this leader is gone. And my mom's still sick. My sisters are still so sensitive and emotional. Like, now I'm really the man in the family. My addictions got worse after that. I have 3 years clean of gambling now. Praise to the Most High. And other things like drugs I used to do, which obviously it's not part of my life anymore. Mm-hmm. But this all happened with my father and the grief. And then everything that happened after that was insane. His business partner, we found out the day after he passed away, stole his money. And all these things were crashing down, bro. And it was just like, I accepted that, like, all right, now this is life now. Like, this was the line in the sand now, like another line where it's just more suffering and more fleetingness and more like, what are we doing here? And life went on. I was engaged in a 4-year relationship that ended. Praise to the Most High there too. Like, when I rewind my steps, man, as we all should do from time to time, stop and contemplate and look and think about your life and think about everything that has happened in your life and every moment that has led to this and how beautiful and insane and how perfect it truly is. And my story is divinely orchestrated. It's literally like a beautiful musical. I was a day away from getting married, like all these things, man. Anyway, the relationship didn't work. I was in California. I moved out, lived by myself for the first time, really, for a full year. And this is important for people listening about awakening, in my opinion. because I've had people reach out to me like, yo, what did you do to awaken? You know, like mushrooms or something like that. And like, I didn't do any of that. It was just my time. But when I retrace my steps, I've learned. And I learned that I needed to first face my addictions. Like I was not going to awaken to this truth, just me personally, my DNA from where I was, like in this space, in this body, in this place, because I wouldn't be able to handle it. You've seen people have these shift strict awakenings and then they go into the mental institution. We see this all the time.
Yeah.
You know, so that's happening a lot because your brain and your body and your mind and your nervous system, they can't handle this type of light, this type of truth. So I look at my journey. I had to handle all my demons that were like right there. I had to get clean with like telling the truth. Because when you're gambling, you're lying a lot, you know? Then I had to, my relationship had to end. And I had to go inside, internal, without really knowing, subconsciously having to be like, all right, well, now I'm by myself. And in this time, I had this calling to get my body in shape. So I was in the gym for 2 years, you know, before this happened to me, this awakening, where I was building up my body. And when I think back, I realize how beautiful was this?
Yeah.
You know? And as I ascend now, Ricky, and the symptoms and what my body's going through, which we'll touch on, is insane. And to think that like, you need to have a vessel that's operating in order to hold the amount of light. Light is information. So if your body can't access or interpret this information, it's not going to do well. So I had to get in shape first. Then I realized after about a year living alone in California, I was working, you know, my job was remote. I was in sales leadership, high position director, running team of 40, 50 people, amazing at my job, my career. It was helping people, you know, that's where I felt the fulfillment in sales. I was always just naturally good at, but, anyway, a year by myself in California, I realized one morning, this chapter is done. Like, what am I doing here? COVID really knocked it off the map. There was nothing going on. Everybody I knew moved away. I had two friends here in Austin, Texas that I grew up with. And I decided, you know what? I'm going to just move there. My job was remote. I packed my car with everything I own. And I drove out to Austin, Texas. Life went on from that moment, kind of as it's been going on, just kind of in this circle, right? I was on this cycle of suffering, as I think most people are, where they go through the same habits. Your experience has changed a little bit. Yeah, like it was happening in California. I grew up in New York, so it's happening there. But it's the same energy. It's the same energy going round and round. And I suddenly one day woke up to a meeting on my calendar for work saying that I was let go. I was at this job for 5 years, and it's hard to grasp, and obviously a very important time in my life. Once again, y'all, I look back on this, I would have never gotten out of this job, because my mentality, my life, my programming, how I grew up was, I don't quit things. I don't stop. I need to win everything. So even in my relationship, I would have went to the grave with it. The grave with it, even though it wasn't working, even though it wasn't for me, because that was just who I am at the time. So the universe had to come in and say, bro, we got you. Like, we are moving, we are shifting you. But one perspective would be like, my relationship didn't end. What am I doing? I'm not in a relationship now. I just lost my job. I lost my father. I lost my mom. Like, you could look at life like that. That's a very tough way to live. Or you could look at it like, wow, all of these pieces were pushing me and moving me to get exactly to where I was. And so I'm in Texas. I don't have a job. I jump into consulting because I had built a bit of a brand on LinkedIn and I was well known in the industry. So I was just like, let me do some consulting for sales teams, and started doing that. And, you know, there was always a resistance. There was always a feeling of, I'm grateful and I'm good at this and I love helping, but there was a lot of resistance to doing it. And I want to reference that because as I jump on this podcast, and I've jumped on many sales podcasts, the feeling internally is different because this is my passion. This is my path. This is my soul now. I want to talk about this. I feel this every second. I'm obsessed with this, you know? So sales was like, yeah, there's a lot of good things to it, but it's not my path. It's not my obsession. and it's okay. It was leading me, it was training me for this.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so I got let go. I jumped into consulting. I started doing that. Once again, the fulfillment wasn't really there. I happened to have traveled back to New York to visit family, which is always so stressful and always so, as we all know, you know, like Ram Dass said, like, if you think you're enlightened, go spend a weekend with the family, you know?
Yeah.
It's so hard. And all the trauma and all comes back up because you go into that mask of dynamic of where you are in your family. And so I went back home and I'm doing this consulting. And I remember doing a consulting session on my computer at my sister's kitchen table, and she has two kids and they were crying and loud, and I didn't feel confident talking, and I didn't feel like I was doing a good job on this session, and I felt really down. And this was coming off of, like, you know, drinking with my friends and doing the same shit, you know, going out, mm-hmm. doing drugs, waking up, not leaving the couch, being depressed, and like, oh, I got to get my life together now. Like, the same thoughts, y'all, the same programming, literally. It's a disc. It is a disc that's put in, and it's like, okay, now you think about this. So now I'm like, all right, now it's time for me to build myself back up. So it went like this: self-development, read some Tony Robbins books, stuff like that, motivational, help people, go out drinking, do some drugs, search for sex, search for fulfillment, search for anything that's going to give me a feeling, come back down, feel like mm-hmm. shit, myself back up. You know? But it's this same cycle, man. So I'm in New York and I get this kind of feeling like, you know what, I'm over this. Like this feeling of like, I need to break the pattern.
Mm-hmm.
I need to break the pattern. So I'm getting a therapist. Like I've dabbled in therapy. I've dabbled in these things, but I'm like, I need to start talking about my feelings more in order to break this pattern. I guess the awakening was starting, but there wasn't anything like a great momentous shift in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I signed up for this, for therapy. And then the very next day in New York, I came down with this insane depression, this wave of, this is so terrible. This, I can't take any more of this.
Mm.
I can't take any more of this life. This is sucks. Like this is just me. And this was just my moment. I was just, I can't do this. The same thing, like in like looking for something to fulfill me, looking for something to look forward to, only to get it and not feel anything and then do it again. And my mom was sick and my sister is so emotional, and you know, everyone's taking from me, and I'm like in the consulting, it's just all over the place. And I had this urge to go back to Texas because I was in New York at this time. I had this feeling, and I had just got to New York, like, you know, to visit family, and I had a mm-hmm. one-way ticket, but I had this feeling to go back to Austin. So I booked my ticket. My family's like, what are you doing? You just got here. And I'm like, I don't know. I can't be here. Mm-hmm. I can't be here. Get back to Texas. And, you know, I was, as I mentioned, the gym and basketball and these things were a big part of my life. And they're a big part of my busyness. I spent a lot of time in the gym and I was working on my physique and my body, but not for the right reasons in a way. I mm-hmm. wanted to look better. I wanted to be more attractive. And I still do that. You know, I was thinking before. I was
likewise, just thinking about likewise.
I need to work on that. But so I get back and I'm like, all right, I'm going to go play basketball. Okay. I go play basketball and I fucking twist my ankle. Synchronicity, I twisted my ankle last night playing basketball. Mm. So like, this is coming full circle again, you know, the message, the learning I need to, it's happening again. I need to learn from it, you know, this is how it works. But I twist my ankle and I come back and I'm like, now I'm in this depression mentally, and now I can't even work out. And I start to feel it all, like the depression, the darkness, the heaviness. And then I started to get pushed towards certain content on LinkedIn, a guy named Derek Grant, who, if you're listening, go follow him, DG Mindset, amazing, beautiful person who I know very well now, and was instrumental in my first 3-4 months of awakening. But I start to get pointed to his reels and things and his content. And it was sticking to me in a way that hadn't stuck to me. And I was feeling this information hit me differently. And it was weird. You know, and there was something he said around like every single thing that happens to you is an opportunity for you to learn more about who you are. So I'm sitting there with my ankle and I'm like, oh my God, like, why do I need the gym so bad? Like, what am I trying to prove? And this is making, just by bringing these things up, y'all, by bringing these questions and bringing awareness to this, your consciousness will upgrade. It will evolve. You don't even need to do anything else. I tell this to my sisters all the time. By just asking these questions, why do I need this? You don't have to even figure it out right now, but why do I need the gym so bad? Raise that question. And then I come to the conclusion where I'm like, maybe this is asking me to sit a little bit more, to stay inside, to work on my mind. Okay. Then instantly I had this calling to meditate. And I'm like, yo, I need to start meditating, which is something I've never been able to do. I can't sit still. This is how I thought, everybody, because I know everyone thinks like this. I can't sit still. My mind is crazy. I'm not built for this, blah, blah, blah. But I said, you know what? I have to start meditating. So what I did to start meditating, I put 3 minutes on my phone timer. I put some Zen music on YouTube. And I said, I'm sitting here for 3 minutes. I have zero expectations. I don't care what happens. I'm doing this for 1 week. For 1 week, I'm doing 3 minutes a day, Zen music. I could think about the Knicks, basketball, I don't care. Football, everyone, I don't care what comes up, but this is what I'm going to do, discipline. So I went about that. Then I start to feel this little flame, as I like to call it, this little fire behind my heart, this push of this invisible hand, of this inspiration that I've never felt before, almost moving me to books, moving me to content. And I had no way of understanding what this was. And I remember going to see my friends a couple of days after this, and they're talking about, you know, the same stuff with the watches and the girls and stuff. And like, I couldn't hear it. I couldn't hear it. I had to leave. I was like, I can't think about this. It's not like, I don't want to talk about this. And I went back and started to read more. And, you know, at this point, I'm like, what's happening? I remember calling my sisters and they're the best. They were like, they said, are you in some sort of cult now? Like, what is this, you know? And then after that joke, it was all love and open arms. And I started to just follow this feeling. And I had no idea what it was. I'm Googling spiritual awakening. Like, what is this? I have no idea what this is. Then I'm reading things. I'm reading books that I've read before that I'm like, did I read this? There's no way I read this. You know, it's hitting differently. I'm like, yo, is this real? Like, I'm reading about the laws of the universe and like how there's rules that govern this reality. And it's making sense to me. And I'm like, is this fucking real? Like, is this real? And then Ricky, I start getting signs from the universe, whether it be synchronicities or angel numbers, numbers of my dad, and just pure knowing. And I am freaked out, man. I'm like, yo. And this flame is kind of growing a little stronger. And what I mean by stronger, it's not big, it's small. It looks like this. It just sits behind my heart and it has no judgment. It really is not saying much. It's just this confident presence that's guiding me. And I'm saying no to consulting things. I'm saying no to job opportunities. And I have no idea why. No clue why. I'm like, everything I'm doing is backwards. Everything I'm doing is backwards. And I'm like, yo, the universe is talking to me. Like, what is happening? I messaged that guy, Derek Grant. I'm like, I went to him on LinkedIn. He has 300,000 followers on Instagram. I message him on LinkedIn and he gets back to me. We exchange voice notes and he's like, the universe is talking to you, bro. Like, you know, listen to it, let it, it's, you know, and I just started to learn more and understand about what this is and who I am. And one thing led to another. And that was the beginning, obviously, of the process to open up for me. And, you know, it started so intense and so crazy. And it's just gotten crazier. It's just gotten crazier. So that's always really long-winded, but
No, I thoroughly enjoyed listening to that, and there are many parallels. Unsurprisingly, a bizarre amount of parallels in our journey. And I think for me, I relate a lot to what you say about training and the gym. And I had a really bad back injury last year. Like, it kept me out of the gym for a few months. And before that, with COVID and gyms closing and
right.
I love it. And I still now, like, going through a hard time, grounding into my body, feeling that physical strength is not as a replacement for like emotional or spiritual strength, but it just kind of gets me into a certain mindset that I don't always allow myself to connect to, like, really in that kind of masculine. And I'm an emotional guy, I'm a sensitive guy, so it's a nice balance with like weight training and stuff like that. But yeah, when I couldn't go, I was just, it really had an impact, because I realized that the ritualistic aspect of going there as well,
yeah,
was a big thing. Like, seeing you get stronger and experiencing your strength increase does something psychologically, just the process, the catharsis of it. But also that's something that I don't or haven't spoken about so much, like the value of that. But then this, I think that for me, the trajectory is drawn out over a long period of time, but I do relate to what you say in terms of the awakening begins at a point where you don't even realize. Like, and it was the same for me going through a lot of challenges with my mental health, and how I was drawn to meditation for like the scientific benefits. Cause I saw, you know, as an atheist, as very scientifically minded. But again, that feeling, that spiritual sense of I'm being drawn into something that I don't fully understand where this is coming from, this deeper intuition, with, as you know, this quality of guidance to it. And I love how you say, like, the reading, like, you read, and this is something I wanted to talk to you about, because one of the first books that I bought was Essential Spirituality by Roger Walsh. And I went through, at that time, like, I wasn't quote unquote spiritual, and it just didn't resonate. I actually thought it was a load of rubbish. Like, it was just like, oh, this is too, it's too woo woo for me, it's not landing, I can't get on board. And a month or two after I started meditation, I picked it up again, and as you say, it felt like a relationship,
right?
It felt symbiotic. It wasn't just here's information that I'm digesting. It was like this process, this trance, this energetic transfer with the content. It felt like remembrance and all these kind of processes that were going on. So they're things that really resonate. And also, I really like that you had that, you know, the insight around grounding into the physical and how valuable that is, with the, just the energy of, you know, light, the frequency of light that can easily send you into craziness. And I've really had to handle that, like the mania of awakening. And that's, I think a lot of people aren't prepared for that in a culture where we're seeing more and more people take psychedelics, more and more people practicing meditation. A lot of these ancient traditions, yogic traditions, would work on the body, have a progression before you even do advanced techniques and stuff like that. So I think this, just having the solid foundation, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, man. Well said. And, you know, everything, when you have an awakening, and I think that we're all awakening, everyone on the planet's awakening at different speeds. We're all, this is it, y'all. Like, there's no way around this. This frequency is here. It's coming. It's always been here. And every single person's soul progression is just leading to this point. This is how the human species evolves. And, you know, it's a constant understanding of where you are. And you're not actually seeking anything. You're just recognizing more of it. And when you go through this process, nothing makes sense. Everything is backwards. Everything. So like for me, and I this is why I have so much respect and honor for people going through this, and like especially people that have kids. Like I have no words, because if I had kids and I had to go through this, like the universe has parted the sea for me, literally, to a point where like I'm still in a healing season, and you don't realize that this is how life should be. Like, it's not supposed to be the way that we think. Like, when you just work and you don't feel good and you push through it, and I got to do this and I got to get better here, and like, well, forget your feelings, forget your emotions, and you're constantly go, go, go. I've been in a healing season, brother. Like, my dark night of the soul, man, like my time has been doing nothing, a lot of nothing. And you know what kind of programming I have to work through to feel okay with it? Because of how I was brought up in my entire life, which of course was all part of the plan, the polarities, you need to see both sides to understand. Yeah, so like this idea that we go through healing seasons, and that like we need to rest and not doing anything is okay, it's actually better. You know, just don't have that type of society. We don't have that type of understanding. And when you're going through this and everyone's asking you, are you okay? Like, and you don't know. You don't know, bro.
It's like, this is a complicated question to answer.
You have no idea. So of course, if someone loves you and they say, hey, you good? And for me particularly, I have a lot of trauma with people asking me if I'm okay, because I never was okay. You understand how this works? My whole life, I never was okay. So my dad would always be like, are you all right, son? Doing all right? And I would be like, stop asking me that, I'm fine. But meanwhile, I'm not. I'm like, why is the sun coming up? What are we doing here? Like, where are the aliens? Like, this is what was happening inside me. So now that's a trauma. That's a trigger for me. And especially when you have no clue and you're going through this process and nothing's making sense. And by the way, it's not just pure connection, right? You said it, right? Like this idea of like awakening and manifesting and dreams and light and love. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. It is not like that at all. Like most of the time you're spending in absolute confusion, absolute disconnect, and absolute fear. And then you have people asking you good, and you still have to follow. You still have to follow this presence. This is why I have so much honor and reverence and respect, because it's not this like this huge sign that's like, come this way and everything's okay and you're in control. Is the opposite of everything you've ever done. It's the opposite of how you've reacted and acted on everything. There is no understanding of what will be, but yet you follow it, because it is this presence, it is this feeling, it is this notion, it is this power that's of peace and love. And you just kind of blind faith for so long, walking into it. And then, like I mentioned, you have no friends anymore and you have no family. Everyone thinks you're going nuts. You have no clue what's happening yourself, and people are asking you, are you okay? And you don't know if you're okay, yet you still have to push through that. You still have to push through that. And then you see a little bit of light, a little bit of love, a little bit of connection. You realize how beautiful it all is and how much it makes sense. And then you fall out of it. You fall out of that. That is so small. You fall out of that. And you got to deal with all of those emotions down here again. And round we go.
Yeah. It's one of the reasons that I was drawn to talking with you, because the messy reality of awakening is so frequently overlooked and sanitized, and especially on social media. It's something that isn't the visceral struggle that can come from that expansion of consciousness. A lot of very wise teachers, a lot of, you know, if you read and study and whoever it may be, this pattern constantly is referenced of, you open up, but you cannot only open up to love and light. If you're opening up, you're also opening up to the suffering of humanity. And that dark night, that fall is like suffering like you've never known. You know, it's like, but the interesting thing, and this has been on my mind the last few days, the shift is like, not that there are two types of suffering, but for the sake of the point I'm trying to make, say there are two types of suffering. The type of suffering that you were describing previously, like these patterns, these loops, the way we get stuck, the way we repeat, the way we don't heal, compared to another form of suffering, which deepens you, embodies you more into your soul. And it's almost like that type of suffering moves you away from God, and that type of suffering moves you closer to God. And like, ugh, telling you what I'm going through, right? Like, this last year has been something else. But that flame that you talk to, like the resilience that is building, like there's this feeling of right now, and not in a sacrificial way, not as a form of martyrdom, but there's a feeling now, I'm like, the more I suffer, the closer I'm going to get to God.
Yeah.
And in my past, a lot of it has been, the more I suffer, the more likely I am to break. And if I break, I might not survive. And then on the path, the suffering's like, why break? But then in that breaking, that flame shines through. And there's that repeated way of exposing yourself to annihilation almost. And this, to live through that is so tough, but it does, I just resonate so much because I've also had that. I saw one of your posts on Bliss. And I was just like, thank God someone's saying this, because you were talking of bliss, and a lot of contemporary discussion on spirituality really emphasizes bliss for understandable reasons. We live very nullified lives in comparison to what is possible. And yeah, you said this, you completely nailed it. When in that state, you essentially disconnect from suffering to a way that makes it harder to relate to the struggles that people go through day to day. Now, if I had to choose, and I love that you articulated that, I wish that more people who see themselves as spiritually advanced, actually actively choose to resonate with suffering more than bliss, and then to empathize and be with people through their suffering, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just that really struck me as necessary and profound, and also the grief that can come from being in this exalted state, feeling like it will last forever, and then it's like zoom. how do I get back to that?
Yeah.
I wonder if you could talk to, because as part of that video that I watched, you talk about the dynamic between beauty and sadness. I wonder if you could talk to that. Because I really like how you articulated that as well.
Yeah. It's so well said, man. So well said on all of that. And I think when we speak about spirituality and awakening and the universe, and we are a species of worship. We're going to worship something, you know? Whether it be girls or guys or cars or money, God, right, is the ultimate moving towards. But the universe has to bake in this way of getting us to what's real. And they do that with all of this bliss and all of this love and all of this manifestation talk, you know? So it's necessary, but it's also important to call it like it is. And as you learn, as you progress, that everything's a paradox. All great universal truths or paradoxes, and becomes quite beautiful, actually. But my experience was, and to my point around sadness and beauty, they are the same thing, just two sides of the same thing. That's what everything is. Hot and cold, you can't tell when it stops, right? It's the same thing. It's two sides of the same coin. And when I first had this awakening, I shot into this blissful state, this place of the grief of my father overnight was gone. I have no fear of death. I can look myself in the eye and talk about it all day. I do not fear death at all. I actually welcome it when it comes, you know? Mm-hmm. And that is a beautiful release of fear. And with that comes a lot of power. And these things started to happen, right? And I started to feel, wow, life is in suffering. Life is the truth of life, which is true, which is true. And this is the paradox. The truth of life is not suffering. The truth of life is light and love and bliss. This is our natural birthright. This is where we come from. This is where we are going. All the other stuff is an illusion. And that's when you made your point around suffering, around like when you were suffering before this and after this, how different it was, because one was an illusion and one was truth.
Mm-hmm.
Always win. That's the beautiful part of this game. But when this first happened to me, and I'm in this state of, wow, suffering's not real. Life's not hard. My dad, my entire life, always, son, life is hard. Life is so hard, son. You're going to have to get back up. You're going to have to keep going. You're going to have to keep going. And this was the programming instilled in me for a reason. And a lot of it is true and a lot of it is not. But when I first had this realization of the truth of the world, and I'm learning about the universal laws and how we are the creator and all of these magnificent things, I'm like, bro, happiness is the only thing. Joy is the only place to be. And I remember, as I reflect, and this is why reflection is so important, because there's wisdom, and this is how you upgrade your consciousness, by learning your lessons over again. So I reflect back in that state, and of course I had to get moved into this awareness and understanding, which I'll get to, but I look back and now the person who's sad over there, I can't resonate with that person. You know, so now all of a sudden I'm on a pedestal. Now I'm more disconnected from the truth of the world, right? Because the truth of the world is there's so much sadness, but sadness isn't really a truth. So there's a paradox, of course, you know, but you can't tell someone that they don't feel a certain thing. The reason they feel it could be an illusion, but what they feel is real. So now I'm in this blissful state and I'm talking about, oh, it's the only way to be. And I'm disconnected from all of these emotions. And as nature does, and I was like, yeah, I'm calling my friends and I'm like, yo, I got the rules, bro. I got the cheat codes, bro. Like, you got to get on the phone with me, man. You got to understand this. I'm talking to my family. I'm like, yo, listen, like, I'm so cool and I'm so full of love and I'm so like, follow me. Like, you need to hear this message, you know? I'm like trying to awaken everybody. No one hears me. They're all like, you're crazy. And half the time I think you're crazy too. So I'm like, what the hell is going on, man? You know? But soon after that, the universe took me by my neck and said, my son, you need to go through it. It took me and threw me and pulled me down underground. And I just kept going. And the darkness came and the pain and the fear and all of it, all of it, all of my connection to God, all of my love, all of my moments of bliss, all gone. And of course, as you go through this journey, every other day is this real? Like, this is a normal question that you're asking yourself. Is any of this real?
Yeah.
This is what my bad days were in the early end, was like, is this real? Like, calling people, yeah, it's for real. Like, can I just follow my heart and my passion and my soul and I'll be fine? Like, I don't have to go to work. I can do this shit. Like, I can just continue to do this and open my heart in love, which is what I was born to do. This is my gift. And I've always known that, like, to love and to realize that it's a game and the language is love. Wow. Wow. How excited. I would go to sleep crying of joy. Times in the beginning, I would go to sleep. And I would laugh and say, oh my God, and so it is, and so it is. It is already done for me. I'm already there. This is just energy. You just need to tune into it. And it is already done. And I'm so happy. And I just can't believe. I couldn't believe this is the real world. So grateful. Not knowing that I'm being disconnected from so much. And, you know, the ego is building and building. And as I mentioned, the dark night came. And I got thrown down and I lost all my connection. I lost all my happiness and all my bliss. And all of it. And it was something I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy.
Mm.
I'm still going through it. Like, I'm still going. This was literally 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I would not. Like, yeah. I would not this. I just started peeking through out of this. But to your main point, as I'm long-winded again, in this dark time, as I start to sit with it, as I start to go through the feelings and learn from them, and I had a moment, which is when I think I made that video, that reel, which was, I was thinking back on like all the things I wanted and all my dreams. And when you're in a fearful state and when you're not feeling good in your body and you, nothing makes sense and you're confused, you don't really want anything. You know why? Because anything you have, if you're smart, you don't want anything because you know nothing will make you happy because it's just you. So as I'm thinking about these dreams, I'm like, damn, they're not really hitting. The feeling that I used to get thinking about them don't really hit. And then it occurred to me, right now is beautiful. Like right now, like, look at this mess. Look at this mess of who I am. Painting. Look at this distortion. Look at all of this fear and all of this courage and all of this confidence, all of this love mixed with all of this fear and sadness. Look how beautiful it is. And it occurred to me, like, right now is beautiful. Right now, in the darkest, in the scariest time, I felt the love and peace. And then I realized that it's the same thing. Beauty and sadness is the same thing. It's just a reflection. We have to have both to understand it. And you realize this human experience is that. It is this journey and this is toggled through. And in that moment, I realized again, wow, I didn't have this love for this, for these tough times. Mm-hmm. I didn't have this because I was in such a blissful state. How could you? And this is the universe's way of reminding you and why we go through the swings, reminding you that we are human too. And it is our birthright to move our way through this into truth and into, I believe, permanent bliss. I believe that this is possible. I believe it's possible. This mm-hmm. is why I'm doing it. My friends are like, you know, I think I'm some virtuous guy all the time. Bro, I want to feel good. I want to feel good all the time. Let me tell you, like, man, I've done all the drugs. I've done all the drugs, mm-hmm. my friend. This, the love of God, the peace of the universe. This is the only drug there is. This is the only way to go. But you go back and forth and you go mm-hmm. back and forth so that you can re-energize that intimacy with the creator. And you can feel for people around you so you could be of service, because how I want to be of service now could never have happened if I stayed in that state, because back then all I wanted to do was stay in that state.
Yeah. I think this is such an important point, because there are a lot of well-known non-duality teachers that point to bliss in a way that, like, I had a podcast conversation with Ellen Emmett, and it was based on the shadow of non-duality, and she's a prominent meditation teacher, but we basically discussed like what shadow is cast from that attachment to bliss, and exactly how you're articulating it, it's a disconnect from humanity. And I think that as a state and an experience, it's very alluring, it's very intoxicating. And even like in my experience, these, they're all like qualities of God. They're like the effect that God has on the emotional aspect of life, but like the transcendence of beauty, like you talked to, bliss, also just stillness and inner peace, and even the spaciousness around suffering. So these are all qualities of it. But I think that connection is so important to that. There's a way I've heard it described of like the horizontal connection. So you have this like divine connection, and wait, no, that's Definitely vertical, isn't it? vertical,
yeah, vertical, it's vertical, yeah.
And then the horizontal is the relational.
Cool,
and man. They aren't, they're distinct in the sense of service and in the sense of, I do think some spiritual teachers who do reach states of bliss and really stabilize in that can transmit that energy to awaken that energy in people. But when they believe their own hype, mm-hmm. and when they neglect the kind of horizontal diversity and variation of how difficult it is for 99.9% of the population to access that, it becomes, and I just talking for me personally, as someone I really struggled with my mental health for most of my adult life, combined with you know, awakening and like the different track that is, a lot of those teachings, I basically jumped from, why am I not normal and why can I not experience normal happiness like everyone I see, to becoming involved in spirituality and then being like, why am I not spiritual? Why can I not just access bliss? Why am I really struggling? And I think that lack of what can feel like a lack of accessibility can hinder people to some extent as well.
Yeah. I think that, the wisdom that's accrued on the path has to be remembered. And I think that everyone's path is unique and different. Every voice has a message that's slightly changing from one to one, you know, like we all have a different thing to help other people with. And when you're in that state, it's natural to not feel the other feelings and lose connection for the people who are feeling them. But it's remembering. And I think that as you progress, I don't know, I'll have to tell you when I get there, but like, as you progress and you ascend, your consciousness is evolving, which means essentially you are smarter, right? Like you are growing as a species. So your understanding of how to integrate things and explain them expands. So it's keeping that humbleness that we are in this human experience, you know? And I think maybe some people could get a little bit lost, as we all do, right? Like the ego is always on full attack, you know, and it's always looking for people to take. And if it could find some truth, some real truth, and distort that, man, that's its best meal. So like, it's just an important notion. Now that I've been through this beginning part of, it's not all about this blissful state, and I'm in this, you know, I'm able to talk about it really well right now because I'm in it, you know, and I can't talk about what I'm not in. So like, I'm dealing with these feelings, with this fear, with this polarity. But I know my experience was bliss into complete darkness, into coming out of it. I will never forget that now, you know, and it's important just to constantly go back there and remember why you're doing this. Why you're doing this? Like, why am I doing this? 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 This always is the question. And how this all started for me was because I've gotten all the things my whole life. I was lucky enough to get all, I saw a lot of money at a young age because of gambling, things like that. It made me feel nothing. I was lucky to experience these things and realize I want love. I want love. That is what I want. When I see my sister's kid, when I see my nephew, and my heart opens, this was also, I forgot to mention, this was a prerequisite to my awakening. I literally had to sit down and ask this question to myself, because my whole life has been fear around, I don't really want, like, I want money. Universe, hear me loud and clear. I want control, baby. Come on. It is. So it is. But like, for so long, it was, I really want this. So even if I work so hard and get it, like, what's the deal, man? And I sat down and had to ask, I want my heart open. I want to be of service. That's really the only thing that fulfills me. That is where time stops for me. And on this path, especially since my Instagram brand just kind of like blew up overnight, like, you get lost. Like, why did I make this video? who am I making this for? And you have to come back. Why am I doing this? Like, and I think that realization to always come back to the love and always come back to what's real will keep you humbled and keep you grounded and keep you in service and your ability to help everyone, not everybody, but of course, so many different types of people from where they are, where they are at, you know, and there's a teacher for everybody.
Yeah.
There's a teacher for everybody. Like my progression on who I've learned from has changed.
Yeah.
Also, I think, like I said, everyone has a message.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing, like, as I mentioned at the beginning of how you, in some way, you've embodied like an archetype that I've connected to, at least that archetypal energy that really resonated. And so for sure. No, I mean, like, really, like, it, as I said, I think before we were recording, like, it's rare for me to reach out just spontaneously. So I think you're the first person I've reached out to for on the podcast spontaneously.
Let me tell you one thing real quick about you reaching out, because I don't really like to talk about my signs and stuff like that, because I've realized that it's a intimate relationship.
Yeah.
And all the pieces and stuff, but my dad's number is 32. My dad who passed away. This is how the universe communicates with me. It's so significant. It's absurd. It's absurd. You can't make this stuff up with where it comes and where I see it. Anyway, your message came in at 3:32 a.m. my time. So, of course I'm here. You know, like,
yeah. Okay, right. So that, yeah, I can't remember. Oh yeah, that was it. Yeah, just with the teachers briefly, like, there are some that do have to just hold a frequency, and that's there. If you're being responsible as a practitioner on the path, they're holding a frequency. You recognize that part of yourself. Maybe they're not as diverse in how to relate to people differently. Maybe they're not as practiced in selfless service. Like, it's just understanding that rather than one teacher, as you point to, everyone has that lesson. And that's also Ram Dass idea of approaching reality. Like, everyone has a lesson to teach. Everyone's your teacher.
Really?
Like, really, like, truly, when you switch into that mindset, it really does support. But I do think that is important to have teachers that point to these truths, just because I see you as connected to your heart. And you also have that, I released a video a few days ago on poetic intelligence and how that dimension of reality, the mythological, the archetypal, the reality that is closer to truth, if not truth, the closest translation of truth is poetry and beauty. And that life takes on that poetic meaning in a way that gives so much depth to the full spectrum of experience. But it's almost like, you articulate this as well, like, there are things that you articulate and I'm like, he's tapping into something right now. I really appreciate that you're talking to this in the way that you are. But for me, it's almost like there's a certain vantage point, and I'm not there all the time. It flickers. The most in-depth I ever had it was when I was on a Vipassana retreat. And I felt like zoom, like I just zoomed so far out of my experience. There was this transcendent vantage point from which the divine orchestra of my life, you spoke to this, like the intricate design made sense from the darkest moments to the light. And at the same time, I could see even in the dark, there was light and there was love. And that is life-changing. And it's not necessarily something I'm connected to when I suffer, but just to have that vantage point is like a poetic revelation of the rhyme of life and the way that these things resonate. I'm getting all passionate and carried away there.
Really well, man. It's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. I feel it in every part of my body, as you say it. It's so true. And what's more beautiful than that? You know, what's more beautiful than being able to see that what's not beautiful is beautiful?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, we can all jog and skip through a field with perfect harmony and sun, and like that's where we're going, that's where we come from, which is great to look forward to, you know. And trust me when I say this, I don't want to suffer. You know, like you said, mm-hmm. you feel it right now and it flickers, but you had a moment of realization where you got to zoom out and see the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And then you use that and hold that and come back to that in your toughest times, in your darkest times, and you serve others this truth so they can do the same. And mm-hmm. that's what it's all about.
Yeah. And I think as well, like, and you also touched upon this, the paradox, the partial truth, like the truths that change with perspective and become relative. Because when I say that, with this example, it's the rhetoric of, and you also did a video on this, but like everything happens for a reason. When disconnected from the heart, you see people say this to people that have just gone through significant suffering. They're like, everything happens for a reason. And it's like, that doesn't help with my pain right now. It does not help. When connected to the heart, it's almost like that simultaneous ability to have that vantage point, that understanding, whilst being connected to the relational and the relative suffering, and know that they're both true, but the ultimate truth is from here, but still in experience, the wisdom of the heart is like that very real suffering is there. That experience might not make sense. It might only make sense on your deathbed or even after you've passed on and you kind of review your life. But just that, I guess what I'm pointing to is the subjective, the deeply intimate personal experience of these kind of revelations and how they are orchestrated or designed to be subjective on the level of knowing and understanding, rather than someone reflecting that at a time where it might not resonate, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. And this is why my approach in my soul's path, which is to bring and talk about these universal truths and to help people. But I've realized something, that my messaging to people is going to be what I think they need to hear. Like, this is the way that I operate. This is the way that I feel things. Like, if two people ask me for the same advice, the chances are that it's going to be different answers based mm-hmm. off of how I connect with this person. This could be a text message. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, this isn't like a full analysis. This is me using my gift. Mm-hmm. Like, where I'm connected and I'm saying, this is what I'm feeling. I'm trusting that this is what they need to hear, because it's about them, you know? So it's like what you say to people at certain times, I completely agree. You know, this whole thing of everything's happening for a reason, that doesn't help people. Yeah. You know, you have to kind of understand that first to appreciate it, you know? And another thing like that, as I was talking to myself yesterday, which I do a lot, this whole thing of, oh, we're in a game, you know, this is an illusion. Like, this is a dream. Doesn't help. Exactly. Like, it's not effective. It's not effective. It doesn't help me. You know, I was like going to do something I didn't want to do. And, oh, what's the big deal, brother? This is a dream. It's true. This is a dream. This is a dream, but that's not helping. And that's not really how we're supposed to take it. You know what I mean? So it's like, what you say to someone, depending on where they're at, what they're going mm-hmm. through, their level of awareness, where's their consciousness at?
Yeah.
You know, people ask me for books all the time. I really don't like the book question. Of course, I used to ask people for books. So, it's like, first of all, tell me what you read last. Because, you know, if you haven't read in years, I'm not telling you to read a book. Like, you have mm-hmm. to get there yourself, you know, but it really depends on your level of awareness. Like, if you're doing basic addition and subtraction, you're not going to do I'm not going to give you some geometry. Like, you're not up, you know, you're not going to, it's not going to resonate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like, it's understanding where everyone's at and catering that message to each individual and believing that that's what they need to hear. That's my approach.
Mm. Something that comes to mind as well with people reaching out on what to read, and like the apparent metaphysics of synchronicity and reading and the messages arriving, I wonder, because at least within myself, I've experienced the difference between, like, let's say I looked at you or anyone as someone that I've given authority to, someone that I've seen as like being evolved and wise, and I want to ask them, because consciously or egoically, I want them to tell me, I want them to give me the exact thing that I need to satiate whatever underlying discomfort I feel. Mm-hmm. Compared to, and like then the chances of that resonating are lower. So I like that you say, ask them the question in response. And yet, just to shift into, okay, rather than what I consciously think I want to read or what problem I want to consciously solve, if I become super receptive, and we can like play with this, like to anyone watching or listening to this now, over the next week, over the next 2 weeks, become really receptive to any signs that you receive, any synchronicity to a particular book, a particular author, a particular quote that surfaces in a way. And the important thing with this is like, there's always an emotional aspect, what you might call an affective aspect. Rather than seeking it out, see if something finds you and trust that. And if you emotionally resonate with this book, this quote, this author, this is where I now promote my book. It's all a ploy. I jest. If you resonate, follow that sign. Take the next step, buy the book, find a copy online, whatever you do. And then that's like this momentum that builds, a synchronistic momentum. You mentioned it earlier, where the path is one of not knowing and not seeing. It's almost, and there is that retrospective seeing, and there are glimpses, and there are things to reach to through the synchronicities, through the kind of breadcrumbs of alignment. But there is that you've got to have faith in the darkness almost, haven't you, to stumble through and just really connect to intuition and where that next step might be.
Yeah. And also, what an amazing practice to take, right? Because if what this is a game of understanding the signs and following them because they're leading you to where you are destined to go on your soul path, which will bring you the most love and most joy and the best life, so then you can help others bring their best life. If that's the game, then the understanding of what the signs becomes the motive. And so much of the time, as I reflect, and this is all I do now, man, and all I do is reflect. But as I reflect, you know, your intuition, the same thing that's told me to read these books, that's brought me to those books, I've felt that my whole life. I just didn't know. Mm-hmm. I just didn't know. So to your point, make a decision that, you know, I want to start reading, and I'm going to let the universe tell me what to read. And I'm not going to think so much about, is this a sign? Is this not a sign? You're going to go with what you think. And what this does is it starts to train you on how to listen to this voice and how to see the signs. And in my opinion, that's a big part of what synchronicities are.
Yeah.
Synchronicities are this sandbox environment where you can now start to understand what your gut feeling tastes like. You know, when I see something or I have a synchronicity happen, I try to remember the feeling I had to tell me to look over there or to go over there, you know, and I recognize, yes. Oh, okay. It was very normal. It's very natural. It wasn't like, look to your right, brother. Look to your right. Yeah. It was like this very like, you know, damn it. That was me. That was just me. Like there was nothing there. It was just me. And then I remember, wow. Okay. That. And start to recognize that. And then all of a sudden you start to pay homage to these signs. You start to be grateful for them and they start happening more. And then you're just on this train. You're on this train, you're not making any decisions, really. So,
yeah, that's the word I use to describe that is enchantment. And culturally, personally, but also culturally, I think we are going through the process of re-enchantment based on the disenchantment of like the scientific method and the idea of just the material existing. So I really like how you talk to that. And also, yeah, the because there's intuition, this kind of deeper wisdom that surfaces. And you also talk to the instinctual element of, it was like messaging you and it landed at that time that was meaningful for you. I just had the thought and I was like, yeah, okay, boom.
Just see how beautiful it is, bro. You see how beautiful it is.
It's like intuition and instinct.
We're all connected.
Yeah. They align, like, yeah. So this, I like that you mentioned turning your head, because I mentioned Vipassana. After that retreat, the only way to describe it was like heaven on earth, like the perceptual shift, the joy, the synchrony, the harmony of every single movement. It was as if me, the like however I identify as me, the self, this experience, subjectively, everything that I see, everything I hear, all of it, was a masterpiece, an absolute masterpiece of this like artistic brilliance, where I would do, I'd look, and exactly as I looked, like a bird would fly through the sky, and it was just like, and I was like, holy shit, there's no actual separation between me and the movement of the external. And when connected again to that like poetic dimension, it's all just one movement. It's all just one movement of something that is divinely profound. And that is, I wish that for everyone, that kind of experience.
That's exactly what I say.
Yeah.
I wish so much, like, I just wish my, you know, I've had moments of, not a lot, you know, but I've had moments of pure and utter beauty with unexplainable peace. And in those moments, you realize that this is the truth of what's happening here. And then, of course, you know, butterfly flies or something happens to you and you know it's for you. You know it because it's just your video game. It is just yours. You are the main character, literally, the entire time. And what comes to me, and this is what's so beautiful about life, when you feel beauty, when you feel love, what comes to you is you want to share it. This is what comes. This is what happens. My entire life, if I watched a good movie, what do I want to do? That was so powerful and profound. I need to tell someone so they could watch it.
Yeah.
About sharing. And that's why it's the key to this world is yourself, taking care of yourself, filling your cup, so then you would not only have to fill others, you'd want to, because that is the natural progression of who we are. You know, when you see these things happen, you see the puzzle and you see the sadness on one hand, you see it all connect, you want others to see it. And that's God's way of creating heaven on earth.
Yeah. And then the what can be the reality colliding then of when you realize that it's very difficult to translate. I mean, it's impossible to translate that to anyone who's not ready for that. And I guess it is like how you're sharing resonated with me. It's like you put out that frequency and then it's gonna harmonize with people. And when you trust, you're aligned to that, and you create and you share from that generous space, just trusting in that process of it will resonate with people in the right way. I'm conscious of time, and there are a few. How are you doing for time, by the way?
I got like another 15 minutes.
Okay. So I made a few notes and something, there are a few directions we can go. I think I'm going to go to the quantum realm because so with this, I mentioned the vantage point and you've articulated this and I love the way that you have. Part of that was this feeling. So I'll just share openly about my experience. But I think the first time I genuinely felt like a presence, something that I couldn't understand, that felt outside of me, it felt transcendent, was the first time that I was suicidal, essentially, like when my depression was at rock bottom. And that felt like an energetic hug is the only way that I can describe it. Didn't really understand it. I was 18 years old, but it pulled me back at that time when I needed it. And since then, that connection is, you know, it comes, it ebbs, it flows. There are times where that quality, I had it 2 days ago. So a sign for my mum and my sister is a robin. Like a red robin, like they're red-chested birds. And I'm pretty sure, like I'm almost certain that the whole time, I lived in Berlin for 8 years, the whole time that I've been here, I've not seen a robin. And I was like, does Germany even have them? Like, this is really strange. And I'm struggling. I'm feeling like this sense of isolation. I'm feeling like the heaviness of what I'm struggling with at the moment. And I'm about to go out and I think I'll just sit down, just rest for a few minutes. And of course, this robin, and it's snowing as well at the moment, this robin just lands on my balcony. It's so hard to describe, but the energetic, like the feeling of this, it wasn't just like I'm seeing something with my eyes. It was the embodied feeling of it carried also that sense of support. And I've got no, I don't know what it means. Like I told my mum about it, but it's not like there's been this huge revelation. Oh yeah, it's because of X, Y, Z. But the only thing I needed at this moment in fumbling around the dark, it, on the path and feeling like exactly what you say, I'm trusting this feeling, I'm trusting what feels true, but it's taken me in this direction that I'm actually really scared of. At the same time, I saw that and I was like, okay. Like this, that I needed that. I didn't realize I needed it. I needed it. That's quite a long way of segueing into the way that you articulate this past, present, future self as an act of compassion. And that was the link, was when I was on Vipassana, deep in meditation, memories resurfaced. To the degree I was like, these aren't things stored in my brain that I'm experiencing. It felt like I was living them again. Yeah. It felt 5D, immersive. I was there again. And the state I cultivated on retreat seemed to translate to those moments when I was suffering. So I wonder if you could talk to, because I know you talk along similar lines with this, if you could talk to that relationship and how you use that as a form of self-compassion and self-love, because this is the most powerful, like when I see you share this, I'm like, that's powerful stuff. Yeah,
absolutely. So beautiful about the red robin, and the universe will always give you what you need, it always, when you need it. But yeah, so essentially you learn that you're an extension of God. That is what you are. That is the truth. And you have, like, that's this platinum, gold, diamond, whatever. It's the most beautiful thing. And it's behind it all, right? And then there's all of this trauma and all of this fear and all of these things that have happened to you your whole life that are blocking the divine light from reaching the true you. And you have to work through those things, because you realize that the game can be summed up. You don't even need to be on a spiritual path. You never even find awakening, whatever. Loving yourself is the absolute game. That is it. And it's not what you think. It's not just like, all right, yeah, I love myself. No, you actually, you get rewarded for loving yourself. Like when you work on loving yourself, you actually, you upgrade. You upgrade. This is a game. Like it's not like how I used to think about things in the past are so different now because there's so much more meaning behind things like love yourself or be present. Like mm-hmm. it's actually real. These one-liners on the Hallmark yeah. cards are the truth. yeah. So when you realize, wow, this game is just about loving myself, because if I love myself, then I don't need to go outside and seek love elsewhere from you, from her, from this, from that, because I don't need it. I'm okay right now. And this is the lifelong journey of unraveling all of these things, these traumas, these shadows, these experiences that have disconnected you from that pearl behind it all and that divine light that's shining down. And then you learn that everything's happening all at once. Everything's happening at once. Time doesn't exist. So then you understand, if you can heal and you can support and you can love the past versions of you that have suffered through trauma, that you will heal in real time. Literally, you will heal in real time. So if you get to a different brain wave, a different state, and you put yourself back in position, in a scenario, like you said, where you have this story's happening right now. It's right now. And if you, what I do is I put myself in that scenario. I'm literally there. I visualize, I had trauma, I have suffering, I'm 8 years old, okay? I'm watching it now, watching it. The story's unfolding. There I am crying, there I am thinking thoughts that I was thinking. And then I put myself, him right now, me right now, or maybe even a future version. If I'm not feeling good, if I'm not feeling good, I'm not feeling confident, I'll go grab someone from the future. Hey, higher self, go get this man. Go get this kid. Go help him. And I'll put myself in there. And I'm like, yeah, I left the reel about this yesterday, but it's, bro, come here. Like I'm acting out like this is a scene, right? I'm not jumping in the middle and changing the reality. I'm just in the corner as an energy. And I'm like, yo, I need to speak to you, bro. And I love this version. And I tell him he's safe and he's okay. And that all this is happening exactly as it should. And to trust and to call on me, call on me, call on me. I am the future of you. And I got you. And I give that person love. I give that version love. And in real time, I'm healing because my past is healing. Mm. So you can use these exercises whenever, you know, and when you realize that it actually works. It's not just like some theory, like you actually, it works because you feel better. Now don't do it once and be like, well, I still have all this fear. This is a cultivation. This is, it's a scale that takes time, that's weaving and bouncing back and forth. You know, it's not so black and white, you know, healing and grieving and all of it takes time, as I've experienced. You got to dance with these versions and these shadows, and they're still there, and you learn to accept, but you're able to go back in time and heal yourself, go back in the future. I mean, go to the future and heal yourself, you know? So, yeah.
Man, the way you articulate that, I feel your heart in it so much. And it is, I guess, on some level, the overlooked, neglected, forgotten dimension of visualization, not as, oh, I'm imagining things, but that actual dimension of healing that we don't necessarily turn to as much. It is outside of time.
And I think that it's important for people listening, and this is something I want to touch on in my future messaging, but there's this idea that like you need to believe everything in its entirety. Like you need to believe in magic 100%. And then if you don't believe in magic 100%, then it's not going to come true. And then what happens in your mind? You're like, well, I have some doubts about everything. So then it's not going to come true until I believe everything in its entirety. You don't need, it's not like that through my experience. Like you just need a little bit of belief. So just open your heart, open your mind to maybe everything's happening at once. Because if you try to do this exercise and you're like, none of this is real, obviously you're creating a reality. So you don't need to believe in full. Do I believe in full? I don't even believe in full. This is the part of awakening. It's always going to be like this. It's always going to expand and contract so that you can recreate that belief, that trust, that faith, you know? But I'll tell you one thing, this thing started and it's been happening and my faith has been, it's increasing every section, right? There's days where I wake up and I'm like, what is all this? But my main point, you don't need to take the stand and be like, yes, there is no such thing as time. And yes, I believe that I could heal my inner child by going back to that scenario and that situation. Just open it a tiny bit and try it and see how it fits.
Beautifully put. Yeah. And it is this need to take a leap of faith and like the reward that comes from that. And that's something for me that, you know, really has hit home on my spiritual path, with more so with like Eastern traditions or things like meditation, where it's try this subjectively, it's verifiable. This is what over a long period of time people have experienced when you try like this technique, that technique. But it's not a dogmatic system. It's just try it. Right. Try it, suspend disbelief and skepticism as best you can. Do not let go of skepticism or rationality. They're really important, but just know the place for them and take that leap of faith.
Absolutely. That's what the whole thing's about.
Yeah. Jesse, infinite gratitude for what you're putting out there. You know, as I say, this was a spontaneous conversation and actually more for me than people listening today. Like I've not really done that so much. It's always for me as well, but I just had a sense that it would be great to talk to you. And that was the sense to follow. So thank you so much for your heart and your generosity. I look forward to what you share in the future and hopefully we keep in touch as well and maybe have another conversation at some point.
Absolutely, man. And I accept all of that. Thank you. And you know, you reached out to me yesterday and here we are today.
Yeah.
You know, quick turnaround. And I appreciate all your insights and your journey, you know, and your path and what you're going through, and all of it is going to be so awesome for you, man. I could feel it. It really is. Keep doing what you're doing. And we'll ride this wave together. Yeah.
Keep riding the wave. For sure. Thanks so much, Jesse. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Mind That Ego podcast. To stay up to date, you can join the Mind That Ego mailing list if you head to mindthatego.com/MFM. You'll also get a copy of my book, Mindsets for Mindfulness, when you join. You can also follow Mind That Ego on Facebook and YouTube, where the podcasts are also displayed in video format, along with other inspired videos that I create. Or if Instagram is more your social media of choice, you can follow me at Ricky_DeRiz. That's DERISZ.